what God wanted, and yet he would agree with it. He doubted it. But immediately, as soon as he agreed with what God says, he opened up his mouth, and then he started praising God. Listen to what he said. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God, and fear came on all that had dwelt round about him. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. Not only was he able to start doing the things of God, but he was able to publish. And then when he did what God told him to do, then others were blessed. And when God, we read about, we heard those wonderful letters that were written by the prisoners. And how did they get loosed and start talking the word of God? And it's published one to another. And now look what happens. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, when was he filled with the Holy Ghost? When he agreed with what God had already told him to do. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he spake with their father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thy child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of holiness. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his shewing into Israel. Look at verse 79 again. To give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death. So the whole world was in darkness. In fact, you and I were in darkness. We were here, but until the light shined, the heavenly light, salvation through redemption of his blood was shed abroad in their hearts, was revealed to us at conviction that Jesus had come. Nothing was happening. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. So let's look at three things this morning. We're going to look at the presence of God, how real it is. And there's nothing like the presence of God, as the song alluded to. And when God's presence is with us, great things happen. And without the presence of God, not much is going to happen. So let's look at three different aspects this morning about this great presence of God that's with us and with his people. First of all, I want to look at the conditions before Christ came. We already alluded to a little bit that before Christ came and entered into the picture of man set in darkness, the prophets of old had foretold through the word of God that Jesus would come. And now when he was ready to come and he'd already provided the means and the way of introducing him to the world through John the Baptist, and he wanted to do that, and some priest sat there and didn't believe it. But now he has come. But let's look at the world and the conditions before he came. Israel was in bondage, by the way, too. Remember, because of their neglect and their failure, then God had allowed Rome to be over them, and they paid their taxes to Rome, and they did everything, and they were in bondage. They could not do what they wanted to do, and the Lord will let all the people of all the world that do not obey him and believe in him, they're in bondage. They don't see themselves in bondage, but nonetheless, they're like Israel. Still carrying on the worship service, but he was far from them. Religion was just stale. or it was still carried on, and I wonder in the world today, it's still carried on in word, but I wonder if they don't believe and accept God in his word and the birth of Jesus Christ and receive him in their heart, then all the religion and all the things that's done in his name is just stale. If God's not here and his presence does not abide with us and he is not anointed and he doesn't anoint us, then we are just stale. Remember what happens. I was telling not too long ago in a message I preached of an instant. I like to take the excess bread that we have that we don't eat and feed it to the birds and the squirrels. And one day the Lord convicted me of that. And there I was, the bread was just a little out of date. I didn't see any mold on it. But one day I actually saw as I was slinging the bread a little mold on it. Went back in the house and the Lord convicted my heart of feeding molded bread to the birds. So I had to go back in. He did that to me another time too. I was out walking around. I was going back to the place on the farm where when I was about 17 years old I was hunting and looking in the trees and stepped on a rattlesnake. And I felt something squish under my feet. And as I felt it, I jumped back and filled him full of 22 shots, cut off 12 rattlers and went home. But the Lord has dealt with me over the years that you have never went back to that place and thanked me for saving your life. The rattlesnake was so cold, like a lot of people get no doubt, and they can't do much. And the rattlesnake was able just to raise his head and stick out his tongue and wiggle at me, wasn't able to strike me. And the Lord did that, and he told me to go back and go back to the place and thank him. Well, as I was going, this dog that I'd never seen before, because nobody lives within a half a mile of where I was going that day, it was following me. Don't know where it came from. It followed me. I was up there a couple of hours just walking through the woods praying and going to that place and praying. And I told that dog, thank you for being here. And I opened up a candy bar. I didn't know I was diabetic in those days. And I had a long candy bar, and I said to that dog, I'll give you half of it. Following me and, you know, watching over me, keeping maybe other snakes away from biting me today. And as I broke it, I kept the big part. Without thinking, and I mean, it wasn't that much difference, but there was a difference, and I gave it to the dog, and he just kind of gulped it down. And as I was eating mine, the Lord convicted my heart and said, you told that dog you'd give him half of it. And thank God I still had some left and I gave him now. I'm telling you that when you say something, you need to do it. And now God has told John, or told Zechariah to do something. And I'm telling you, when we promise something, whether it's a dog or a bird, whatever, we need to be willing to do what we have promised. And if I can do that to a bird and to a dog, how much more if I promise God something? Or if he speaks to my heart. So not much was going on before, and the conditions before Christ came was stale at the most. But thank God there was a visitation by angel Gabriel. And the Gabriel came to Zacharias and said, it won't always be darkness because the light's going to shine. Christ Jesus is going to be born. And you're the forerunner because you got a responsibility. You and Elizabeth are going to bear a son that will go out and proclaim and be a forerunner for Jesus. And that's exactly what happened. Then a few months later, Gabriel came back and appeared to Mary. And now Mary is going to be with child whose father is God the Father. She said, how shall this be since I know not a man? We don't understand all God's doing, but one thing we know, if he says it, he is going to do it. And he wants to use you. He's using the Rwanda program. He's using you to furnish money. You don't see the results if two, and there's been others write, by the way, but if a few people write, how many more people have been blessed that don't write? Think of you. I hate writing letters. I'm pretty good at sending emails and texts. But writing a letter and taking it to the post office, I just don't do much of that. But when people take the trouble to, how much more is happening? And God's using you. You don't see the results, but God sees the results. and he knows what he's doing. So our problem is to listen to God. And the conditions of the world and even the world today, without God intervening in your life and mine, without his blessings, without his presence, it's just stale. And I said a while ago, stale bread convicted me of feeding it to the birds and not promising to do what to the dog I told convicted me. So the conditions before Christ came into this world were stale at best. But I want to spend a few minutes looking at the changes that happened after Christ Jesus was born. It's immediately, as soon as he was born, let's look at just a few things. Now there is a visitation of angels on the Judean hillside. And they're telling the shepherds just out there minding their own business. And they're taking care of their flocks by night because the wolves are out there and the bears are out there. And they have to make sure that those sheep stay within the fold. Thank God that he is a good shepherd. Jesus told us that he is a shepherd that's guarding his sheep. Remember, one was gone astray, but the article says in the Bible that he was not content that one was astray, and he goes out and finds that little lost lamb. Thank God he came to me one day. I was a little lost lamb, but he drew me to himself. So the visitation of the angels happened after his birth. Nothing was happening before his birth. Yeah, a visitation by angel to Zacharias, telling him what he was going to do. A visitation to Mary by the angel Gabriel, telling Mary what he was going to do. But not much else was happening. But then after Christ was born, worship can happen. The shepherds, they didn't think about it. They didn't have to pray about it until you is born this day. The city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They wasted no time. When they had an opportunity to go, they went immediately and they saw the babe. And the Bible says they worshiped him. They adored him. What happens when you see Christ and you're able to visit him and you're able to worship him? The next thing on their agenda was visitation. They did not return to the sheep to take care of them. They went in different directions, telling others what they had seen and heard. I'm telling you, we won't be a good witness. We won't be able to do anything to God. We won't even be able to worship him until we come to the grip and knowledge that he died for our sins and he is available. The shepherds had the invitation, and you and I today have an invitation to fall at his feet and worship him and give him thanks. And what will happen after we worship him? We will be a witness wherever we go for the glorification of his son, Jesus Christ. Not only that, but there was a visitation by the wise men to Bethlehem. Remember the story. The Bible says the wise men had read the scripture. How do you know anything? Reading the scripture. And they had read the scripture. And they had known that a Savior was born. They traveled far. Now, God knew how long it would take them to leave where they were to get to Bethlehem to see the Christ child. It wasn't an afterthought. Oh, by the way, a Savior is born, and you've got several miles, maybe hundreds of miles to travel, get on the journey. No, he's able to do. Remember, Jesus knew, God knew when he was going to send his son into the world, so he had the way prepared ahead of time, did he not? 6 months earlier, Elizabeth was with child, and now John was already on the planet. In fact, remember, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in Elizabeth's womb when he heard the salutations of Mary, that a child has been in my womb 3 months. And now we see Zacharias was filled of the Holy Ghost when he was able to do what God wanted him to do, and he prophesied. And now Mary has traveled to Elizabeth's house, and now Elizabeth has a child with her, and anointing is taking place. So God always arranges ahead of time. And now the wise men, let's read about it. Let's turn the Bibles over to the book of Luke. And read about these wise men. Actually, this is in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Verse 10 first. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. See, God had sent them a star. They had read the scripture. They knew what was going to come to pass. And they knew where to go in Bethlehem of Judea. They didn't have to search all over the planet. The scripture read, the scripture had been proclaimed by the prophet, which led them directly. And then it was backed up by the great star. And they said, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. So now we have the visitation of the angels. What happens? The shepherds went, they worshiped, and they witnessed. What happens when the wise men obey the word of God and they go search? They rejoiced. And let's read the next verse. And they worshiped. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Oh, isn't it wonderful that after Christ is born, the shepherds are worshiping. And now Mary and Elizabeth are worshiping. And now the wise men are worshiping. And as they went back to their own country, don't you know that everyone they saw, a child is born, and we were able to inquire and to see the child. It's just like the scripture said it was. He was born in Bethlehem, and the star led us. What's going to lead you and I to Jesus? The precious Holy Ghost, through the light of the gospel, shining in their hearts, and we're receiving it. And he'll lead us every time to Christ Jesus, our Lord. What will happen when we see Jesus? We have a choice. The shepherd could have stayed there and says, no, it's late at night. We're tired. We're weary. There might be a danger of us leaving the sheep. They may go astray. But no, nothing was more important than going and worshiping the Lord. And the only time you and I is going to worship the Lord is when we come to the place that nothing is more important. Then we go worship him, fall at his feet, thank him for coming, thank him for giving his life, thank him for giving us an opportunity to worship him. And then when we worship him, what will we do, as the wise men did? Rejoice and worship and witness. And then let's go a step farther. What's happening? We're looking at the changes to the world after Christ was born. The Bible tells us on the eighth day, they left Bethlehem. I'm talking about Mary and Joseph. And according to the scripture, circumcised a child on the eighth day. What are they going to do in Jerusalem at the temple? And when other people in the temple see the Lord, let's look at the text together in the book of Luke and find out what happens when other people see the Lord. Nothing's going to happen, we've already found out, until we come in contact with the Lord. But now they have traveled a few miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. And God is already known. God is in the forerunner. He's already planned everything. He knew exactly when Jesus would get there. So he has prepared Simeon, and he's prepared Anna, and we were told about two, but how many others? We don't understand and know all through the ages of time how many people have been drawn to Jesus Christ and have received him, and then they've worshiped him, and they've witnessed to others, and they've witnessed to others, and they've witnessed to others. But let's just read the account now in the book of Luke, and let's look at verse 25. And we're looking at the second chapter. They come now. Verse 24 says, to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. See, everything in the Word of God has led us to Jesus Christ. The prophets of old told about His coming, told about the child's going to be circumcised on the eighth day. And I've said many times, hundreds of times, I go to the Word of God and I'm reading the Word of God. He shows me over and over again, and I accept it, that nothing is worth anything until it's in the house of God or the things of God. And all things can be judged by how we are responding and how our life is centered in the house of God through the Word of God. Look what happens, the house of God and the Word of God. Christ Jesus is the Word. And then He's going to Jerusalem. And behold, verse 25, there was in a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now letteth thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Let's look what's going to happen now. Simeon had been waiting, led by the Holy Ghost, just stay put. And by the way, we're waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we're in His presence. Nothing's going to transpire until you and I in our hearts see that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And we worship Him, we adore Him, then we witness to Him. And that Simeon now had been waiting the consolation. He saw the Lord. He took Him. And when Jesus reveals Himself to us, we receive Him in our hearts and we take Him at His word, that if you receive me and ask forgiveness for your sins, then I'll save you and secure you and remiss all your sins are gone. Then we can worship, we can adore. Look what else Simeon did after he took him. He said in verse 30, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to light in the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That's you and I. Hey, before Christ came, we Gentiles were just as Gentile dogs. The Lord hadn't spoken through the Gentiles, but because Israel was cut off because of their neglect, their unbelief, just like Zacharias, dumb can't speak. Israel as a whole would not receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He cut them off and grafted the Gentiles in. That's you and that's me. And God saw it ahead of time. And now it's been prophesied. How did it get prophesied? Through the Holy Ghost, through Simeon, that has received Jesus Christ in his arms. Nothing's going to happen until we receive Jesus Christ and his word and accept his promise. It's just going to be stale, like the darkness is still upon the world to those that have not received him. The world is in darkness, in sins, in despair. Then he says in verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at all those things which were spoken of him. They worship, they witness, and then when we worship and witness, we do as Mary and Joseph, we just marvel. Isn't God doing a great work? He sent his son through the birth of Jesus Christ through Mary, who had not been with man, and here God is bearing witness, and Simeon has believed the report that the Christ child is going to come, and now he's prophesied. What more can you do except marvel and enjoy and worship the Lord our God? And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken again. Yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That took some pondering, did it not? Mary had just given birth to us, to a child, Jesus. It's been prophesied through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, that this child shall have a sword. Yes, they stuck a sword in his side. He was just saying what the Lord, the Holy Spirit had already revealed, that Jesus came to die. And thank God we have been told ahead of time through the Word of God. Then when we got here and the Holy Ghost witnessed and came to their hearts, illuminated their minds and showed us, which was already revealed. God is already taking care of all the details. All he wants you and I to do is to receive and to hear and believe the report. But that's not all that happened. Not at the mouth of two witnesses, right? Well, here's Simeon there at the temple. Let's read about another great, marvelous woman. Her name is Anna, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel, of a tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 70 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. When someone is this faithful, you just know that you know that you know God's going to reveal himself. He not only had revealed himself before, but he's going to reveal himself as only he can. And when you now are faithful to the Word of God, and we present ourselves, and we're faithful to his house and to his precious Word, it's just a done deal that God's going to come and reveal himself even more to us because he's promised to do that. Now, she is faithful. She's done her part. And when you and I do our part, you don't have to worry about God doing his part. Sometimes it's okay if you want to pray like this. Lord, bless us. That's good. But I found in my own life and heart, God make me blessable works a lot better. Because if I get to the place and I allow him in my heart to guide me and lead me and I follow him and I do what he tells me to do, the blessings are automatic. All I need to do is ask God to help me to be what he wants me to be. Anna had performed that, and what? Look what happened. And Simeon had performed that, and here the Christ child is. And she coming in that instant, isn't that something? As soon as Simeon had held the child and gave the blessings, and now Anna had been around a long time, but God directed her footsteps. God directed the wise men at the right instant. Got him started months ahead of time, no doubt. And God had told Zacharias ahead of time that Elizabeth's going to have a son because God's got all figured out. His timing's perfect. All we have to do is be able to listen and to hear and acknowledge what he said. And she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him of all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things, listen to this. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. You see, God had already purposed, and the wise men had come to Bethlehem. And now there's no mention in the Word of God that they ever went back after this, as the Scripture just told us. After they saw Simeon and he was circumcised in the temple, they didn't go back to Bethlehem. The Bible says to their own city, Nazareth. Why would they go back to Bethlehem? Wait on the wise men? No, the wise men had already come. They saw the star. Oh, what about that verse of Scripture that said the child was 2 years old? Let's just settle that. Let's go to the precious Word of God in Book of Matthew. And let's see what God says about that in verse 13, chapter 2, the book of Matthew. After the wise men had departed because they realized by the Holy Spirit. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, so it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth, and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently required of the Lord. And people take that to mean that Jesus was 2 years old when the wise men came. That's not what it says whatsoever. It says that, see, remember, unless the Lord enlightens us, we're walking in darkness. Herod had not been enlightened. He had refused, so he was in darkness. All he knew to do was, when did the star appear? Because he realized there's something about that name. Didn't accept it, didn't receive it. He was stricken dumb because he was dumb about things of God. So all he knew to do is go back from that time and kill all the babies. But now Jesus had been long gone. Remember, he left after the circumcision and went back to Nazareth. And the wise men had been there. And the devil doesn't know anything to do except in darkness. He tries to destroy, to tear down, to deceive. Okay, we've looked at the conditions before Christ came. We saw the changes after Christ was born. I want to look lastly at the circumstances centuries later. Remember, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus Christ came, and he was crucified on the cross when he was 33 years old. But what about what's happened since that time? Well, it seems to me, as last time I saw, that the world is still killing babies. Herod killed all the children. Can you imagine? Seeing all the coast of Israel and going to every household. And if there was a male child, 2 years old and younger, he would kill that child. That's hard to perceive. But then let's look at America and the rest of the world today. How many millions and millions of babies in the womb. And now, because the world's in darkness, they're letting the baby be born. And if they've tried to kill it, and the Lord wouldn't let that happen, and now it's born, it's laid on the table, and they decide, Mom and Dad, what are we going to do now? The abortion didn't work. Will we kill the baby or let it live? We think Herod was cruel, and he was. Taking a 2-year-old and a 9-month-old and all these babies and killing them, throw them in the Nile River, that's cruel. But killing a baby in the womb is cruel also. It's life. And then taking the baby even after it's born because you couldn't kill it, God wouldn't let, and now you have the authority. The world's still in darkness, folks. But thank God the light has shined to us, his people. And we know that God gives life. But not only that, we're looking at circumstances after Christ was born. We looked at immediately after. Now let's look at several centuries later, 2,000 years later. The world's still in darkness. Religion still, for the most part, far off from God. Used to, you could hear the word conservative, and you knew that meant believe the word of God, trust the word of God, worship the right way, dress the right way, and all the things conservative. That word don't mean a lot anymore to a lot of people. Because people say anymore, you can act any way and do any way and dress any way and go any way. And that's not what the Word of God says. We in the world today are just much like as a whole. The children of the Israel world was before Christ was born. Still singing the songs, although most of the songs sung don't reference Christ or the way they act, they don't worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So centuries later, still a world without God. But let's look at the future. We, like Simeon and Anna, are waiting for the coming of the Lord. They were not disappointed, were they? Where were they at when they were waiting? The house of God, while we're waiting in this present world for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're worshiping the true and the living God. The only way you can worship him is according to the scriptures, that when you get saved, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You take 100 people, the average 100 people that says they're saved, whether it's in this church or others, I don't know. But you go out and we're changed. We act right. We do right. We talk right. We sing right. And under God, we dress right. But you look at 100, and the Lord is looking. I'm not, but the Lord's looking. And you go out and you look during the weekdays at 100 people. Let's say 50 are saved and 50 are not. 50 say they're saved and 50 say they aren't. I don't know if they're saved or not. It would be hard for you to determine, if you were a worldly person and not saved, which ones said they were saved. They dress alike. They act alike. They go to the same places. Wouldn't you say the world's pretty much like it was? Religion's pretty much like it was before Christ came? But we don't have to be like that. We can be like Simeon, and we can be like Anna. We can put the Word of God in their hearts and settle this thing. Anything worth anything will be centered around the house of God. And that's where business is going to pick up. And then the world is watching us. And under God, when the world looks at me, and they may not know me, but I want them to see me acting different and dressing different and talking different. And then if they get to know me, they won't question. I say, well, sure he's a Christian. He acts like Christ. But while we're here, we're waiting on the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And while we're waiting, we can be a lot like Anna. Maybe old, maybe young. Just sticking around the house of God. What better place to put your investment in, to put your time in, to put your prayers in? To the blessed, blessed house of God. Would you stand this morning? Your heads are bowed. Brother Rand, you have a song of invitation God put on your heart. Conditions before Christ's birth. Changes immediately after Christ was born. We looked at those. And then the circumstances. Circumstances in the world centuries later. The world just like they were. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But you and I that's truly saved, we can be like Anna and we can be like Simeon. Hanging around the house of God, waiting for the blessed Holy Ghost to visit us. As Tiffany's saying, the presence of the Lord. Brother Randy, altar's open. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. The light of the gospel, the Holy Ghost illuminating your heart, convicting your heart. You can think it in your head. It won't get you anywhere. Have to receive it in your heart. How you do that, I can't tell you. But the Holy Ghost can. Bless the word of God. Would you come?